Hello, I'm Kendall Luke, and welcome to the Turning Point Podcast, the bi-weekly program that features interesting people from all walks of life, addresses the concerns and events from the movers and shakers in your community, and provides a forum for you, the listener, to ask questions and share what keeps you up at night. To ask a question, please leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174. That's 312-866-7174, or leave an email at theturningpointpodcast.com. That's theturningpointpodcast.com. Now, your host is Mohammed Fahim, a candidate for the United States U.S. House of Representatives in the 8th District of Illinois. Mr. Fahim.
Thank you for the introduction, Ken. And if you could please introduce our guest for tonight.
Tonight on the Turning Point Podcast, our guest will be City of Chicago Alderman David Moore. David has served as alderman since 2015 and since on, now count them, 9 city council committees: contract oversight and equity as the vice chair, budget and government operations, committee and rules, housing and real estate, license and consumer protection, pedestrian and traffic safety, transportation and public way and zoning, landmarks and building standards, and the ever-powerful Finance Committee. David is also one of the more promising candidates for the office of Illinois Secretary of State. David is one of those few individuals who possesses the rare combination of corporate experience, political savvy, and a passion for progressive change. It is now my honor and privilege to introduce to you Alderman David Moore. Mr. Fahim.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you so much for the introduction. And thank you, Alderman, for coming on the Turning Point Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, it is my honor. Thank you so much, both of you.
Well, I wanted to start off by going a little back into your background. I remember reading that you spent your childhood in the Robert Taylor homes before moving to the Englewood and Auburn Gresham communities. How was that experience?
You know what? It was, for a child, it served a both a positive and a negative. And that's what you go through life. You go through some positives and you go through some negative challenges. Growing up in Robert Taylor Homes was my foundation for learning how to navigate through difficult situations. But at the same time, it was a place of family. People coming together, a good community. And unfortunately, there were times when you hear about certain violence. I remember a young lady that was 9 years old by the name of Jackie. Her name was Jacqueline Robinson, who some guys came in, and she was 9 years old, and her and my sister were good friends, and they shot up the whole family and killed her. Wow. And that really is still, it leaves I never forget Jackie. I still talk about her because I don't want her to be forgotten. But at the same time, in dealing with that, I learned how to persevere. I learned how to work with people, and I've learned how not to forget about what I would call the least of those and the least of us. And it's in the word of God when he said, when you've done unto the least of them, you've done unto me. And from that standpoint, I've always wanted to focus on that. So my experiences, for the most part, they were good, but there were some challenges there as well.
Now, looking back at those experiences, Alderman, how many people were in your family?
I have 2 older sisters, which both of them passed within the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then my mom and my stepdad. My stepdad passed back in 93. So and from the immediate family, it's just me and my mom. And I also have a daughter who's 26 years old now.
Well, growing up in Robert Taylor Homes and then going on from there to graduate from, Western Illinois University with a dual major in accounting and operations management, and then going on to get, an MA from Loyola with an emphasis in government studies. Who was your role model? What made you get into that line?
Right. So it's interesting. First of all, my ultimate role model was Reverend Dr. Clay Evans. I came up at under him at Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. He was one of the ministers in Chicago that allowed Dr. King to come and speak at his church during a time where the powerful Richard J. Daley, who had what we call absolute power, he challenged Reverend Evans and told him if he allowed Dr. King to come there and speak, he would make sure that he wouldn't get the financing or the zoning to get his new church built. And when many other ministers backed down, Reverend Evans stood up and he allowed Dr. King to come there and speak. But Richard J. Daley kept his word, because I remember when I turned around 9 years old, the steel structure of that building was still standing and rusting because Richard J. Daley kept his word. But ultimately, Reverend Clay Evans prevailed. So he was my hero, my mentor, and my spiritual father. And but it was my uncle who got me involved in public service. I had been involved in serving in the church, but my uncle and my great aunt, they wanted to give us a better chance at life. And so they moved us out of the projects and moved us into Englewood. They converted they had a two flat, and they converted their basement apartment into a three bedroom apartment for us. Mm-hmm. And my uncle was an assistant precinct captain, and he would pay me $5 to run up and down the street putting literature in people's mailbox. And I have to be honest with you all, I didn't care about any politics. I just wanted that $5 to get some Boston baked beans and Chico sticks with. But it was when I turned 13, and this is what inspired me to get involved in public and community service, is my uncle took me to a breakfast with him at what was then the Roberts Motel on 63rd and King Drive, and they had a banquet room. And then State Senator Hal Washington was running for Congress. And he looked me in the eye as a young 13-year-old and talked about the importance of young people being involved in their community. And that's what changed my life, to serving in the community and in addition to the church. And that was my natural progression from there.
And I guess that is probably one of the reasons why you want to carry that tradition for other youth now. Tell me a little bit more about the Moore for Youth, the nonprofit that you have. Was that one of the reasons that was in the back of your mind, that you want to get more youth, and empower them, providing them access to government? How did that thing get started?
Well, actually, I have been doing that even before Moore for Youth. I have been doing that as a, even when I was in the private sector, working for Fortune 500 companies as an accountant, I would bring young people to my office with me and corporate America and show them, hey, you can do this. This is what you got. I have them sitting at my office desk, running numbers for me, and I always put them hands on. The Moore for Youth piece came more in the sense that there are so many issues in our communities, and yet you have a ton of not-for-profits, right? And you always wonder, well, we all these not-for-profits, why aren't we getting things done? And what I had realized is that, unfortunately, a lot of these not-for-profits were more focusing on the administrative dollars. So people will start not-for-profits, but most of the money wasn't going toward the cause. It was going towards people's salaries and things. And so I made it a point to identify those organizations and those people who were really doing it for the real reason and really impacting lives. And I wanted to put them under one umbrella called Moore for Youth, so that when people are donating money and giving money, I'm making sure that it's getting to the people who's doing the work and not people who are just collecting salaries and administrative costs. And so Moore for Youth is not just Moore for Youth itself. It's a collaboration of other not-for-profits who are doing the work but do not get recognized. And I wanted to make sure I use my voice and my seat to make sure that those not-for-profits get recognized for doing the work and that they get some of those resources that normally the bigger not-for-profits get and everything. And so that's what prompted me to start Moore for Youth.
You know, that is such a wonderful idea. I was involved in the nonprofit sector for a while with the Illinois WorkNet Centers.
Yes.
And as part of one of the summer youth programs, I started something called the Manufacturing Careers Internship Program, almost like I would say a good 10 years back now.
Okay.
And that was to get our youth at risk into careers in manufacturing. That program was recognized as a best practice at the national level in workforce development. And it's been going on now for the last 10, 12 years now.
Awesome.
And I would love to see if I could, you know, once you are elected, you know, as the Secretary of State, maybe get some of these things, you know, more at the state level rather than just the local level.
No, and I agree. And that's why I was the first to talk about establishing throughout the state 122 youth engagement offices. And it's not just for politics. And I'm glad you mentioned you brought that up. It's because it's about getting our youth engaged both civically and professionally and in the public sphere. And so one of the things that I learned in college and when I got in college and I didn't know until later is I didn't know about operations management and manufacturing. I didn't know about transportation and physical distribution. That wasn't taught to me or talked about in my high school. And so I went to Simeon High School and you had to pick a major because I always wanted to be an attorney, right? but you had to pick a major. And of course we didn't have pre-law. So I ended up majoring in accounting and I loved accounting so much that I decided to major in it in college with the hopes of still going to law school because you don't have to have a specific major for law. But I fell in love with accounting, but if you ever took accounting courses, what separates from the accountants and the bookkeepers is that intermediate one class. and that intermediate one class was such a challenge for so many people. If you started majoring in accounting, if intermediate one would tell you if you were gonna be the accountant or not. And so I couldn't get past intermediate one the first two times I took the course, right? And so I decided, well, like I'm gonna have to change my major. And that's when I got introduced to operations management and manufacturing. And everything that I learned in there is like what you're saying. I'm glad because so many people do not get exposed to that and the careers that's around there. And I started majoring in that. And then eventually I took a finance class that made stock, warrants, and bonds. I had a teacher by the name of Dr. Singh. I never forget him in my life because he taught that class so well. And that's what I was struggling with in that first exam in intermediate one. And so I went back to pick accounting back up and ended up getting a B+ on the exam. And that's how I ended up with a dual major, believe it or not, in accounting and operations management. So to your point, when I talk about at the Secretary of State level, establishing these 122 youth engagement offices is for that purpose, to teach our children not only civic responsibility, but letting them know about those different professions that are out there, because you cannot be what you can't see or what you don't even know about. And giving them access and to those experiences. And so that's what's near and dear to my heart, elevating these young people, because they're not only are they our future, and that's easy to say, but people don't know the impact of giving them a voice and a seat at the table, which goes back to what your question to me, and not only starting for more for youth, but making sure that we have this youth engagement office. One of the things that disturbed me as an adult is that for years, people would tell me, stay in church, go to church, stay out of trouble. You can be anything you want to be and stay on the right path, go to school, do all these things, and you could be anything you want to be. But then when you become that adult or that young adult, and you go to those same people for help that told you could be anything, mm-hmm. they say, oh, it's not your time. Well, I wish I could help you. All those things they said to you when you were a child that you believe, you become disheartened when you become an adult. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so yep. I wanted to make sure that any child, I don't care whether I agree with them there in terms of there are some people that may say, hey, I'm a run for office against one of your colleagues. I'll say, well, I think that colleague is doing a good job. I'm not going to support you, but I will help you learn how to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I would never turn anyone away for any reason. Anybody that I even disagree with, young person, if they come to me for help, I want to make sure that they're getting that help and that opportunity that many of that I didn't get when I reached out for help, and people turning their backs or giving you a million and one excuses, whether you want to call it turning your backs or giving you every excuse under the sun. I vowed that I wouldn't give no young person an excuse. Whether I agree with them or not, I'm going to help them.
That is so wonderful to hear, Alderman. We'll take a quick break and we'll catch up on this conversation after the break.
You are listening to the Turning Point Podcast. Our website is turningpointpodcast.com. Our phone number is 312-866-7174. Now, folks, this podcast is for you. So please, if there's somebody of interest from any background, but somebody who has a compelling story to share, please give us a call. My name is Ken. I'm the producer. Have them talk to me, and I will be happy to maybe bring them on and have them as one of our guests on the podcast. Again, that phone number is 312-866-7174, and we will be right back after this message. Thank you. Do you remember back in the day, and I'm talking about a day before flash drives, MP3s, DVDs, CDs, cassette tapes, and even the time before 8-tracks, there used to be something they called vinyl. Now, in most people's opinion, by far that was the best way to listen to music. I can remember that far back, and I remember I had a black dog. I loved listening to my vinyl albums, me and my black dog. Folks, something extraordinary has happened in Plainfield. 16108 South Route 59, to be exact, they opened the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe. Now, this is a family-owned record store slash cafe. They buy, sell, trade, use vinyl records. And now that vinyl's making a comeback, they also have a selection of new vinyl records. The cafe serves food and has a full bar service featuring Will County's best local breweries, along with wine selections from Plainfield's very own Sable Creek Winery. Folks, if you have that hankering to get that live music vibe, the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe has live music every weekend featuring new artists as well as established veterans. They're open every day of the week, well, with the exception of Mondays and Tuesdays. Come check out the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe, 16108 South Route 59 in Plainfield, Illinois. And folks, try to remember, there was a time back in the day.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So, please stop by and catch our programming as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television, on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com.
Solar Power Midwest here to ask you a question. How many times have you been scared to open up your electric bill and only to be shocked even more as the cost of electricity keep going up? Well, guess what? As one of our customers said, he and his wife were scared to open up their bills. Then they hired us to install solar. And now they love it because they only pay $14 a month hookup fee to their electric company. You have, for the first time, your choice to own your own electric power plant at your home or business. With Solar Power Midwest, we've been in business since 2001, making customers happy all over Illinois, as we are based in Illinois and here to help. All our representatives are ready for your call to 844-49-SOLAR. Again, that's 1-844-49-SOLAR, or you can check out our website at solarpowermidwest.com. We're here to help and show you how solar can enhance your life forever.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So please stop by and catch our programming, as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television, on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com.
Okay, folks, we are back. I'm Mohammed Fahim, and you are tuned in to the Turning Point podcast. My guest today is David Moore, who is running for the Illinois Secretary of State. David is an alderman currently, and I believe my producer, Ken, Ken has a couple of questions for you, Alderman Moore. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, I've been very familiar with city politics for quite a while. And that's a two-part question. Question one is, in the many years you've served as alderman, what would you consider to be, say, your best accomplishments in that role? And then moving forward to your new ambitions of becoming Secretary of State, what sets you apart from your opponents that would be something that we really want to stand behind?
Right. My accomplishments, I would say my greatest, is based on the commitments that I made when I ran for office. One of the three things that I told myself that what I wanted to do as I talked to the community is make sure that they have access to government. And by having access to government, making sure they have access to me. Two, I wanted to make sure that I did development in my ward. And then three, I wanted to make sure that I helped make some aspiring millionaires in this city. And so as far as the access, all of my constituents have access to me, and all of them have my cell phone number or even have access to it, so much so that, you know, they don't abuse it, but they know how to get to me, and they like that, and they feel more a part of their government, as everyone should be. Two, development, which is key to me, is making sure I brought development to my community. But one of my biggest ones, because I don't like making promises in politics. I tell people, always, the only thing I promise is that I'll do my best. But that was when I first ran and first got elected, should I say, a young boy came up to me at Ogden Park in Inglewood, and they didn't have a football field. And the coach introduced me as the alderman, as the person that helped get things for the community. And the little boy said, can you get us a football field? And I said, I'll make sure I work on getting your football field. He said, you promise? And I looked at him in the eye and I said, I promise. And don't you, I went to hell to high water with Rahm Emanuel, but we got Mayor Rahm Emanuel, but we got that football field for those kids. And that was one of my greatest accomplishments, but also one of my big ones is, again, when I talk about helping developers and who usually don't have access, for the first time in the history of our nation, there's companies who have done cargo, building cargo places at airport, cargo shops and buildings at airports, multi-million dollar cargo spaces. And this one company who does it all over the world, who was doing one in Chicago, I asked him, has there ever been a minority company that has done has worked on a prime at building a cargo space? And he said, no. And I pushed them to do it. And they joint venture with a company here, and that person now can go over across the country and build cargo spaces at airports. So those are the type of accomplishments that I appreciate, along with giving recognition to our founding father, John Point Baptiste Dusab, who had no major recognition in this city. And we were able to get Lakeshore Drive renamed John Baptiste Point Dusab Drive. And so those are my critical accomplishments that I appreciate that I were able to help and make an impact on this city and other people's lives. Now, as it relates to what your second question, what makes me different from my other candidates, the other candidates that's in the Secretary of State race, is that I am both battle tested and proven. You heard my story about where I come from and then how I got to where I even got to. And for me, I am a mirror image of most of the people here within this state. Unlike my opponents, most people are not millionaires and won't have access. And there's nothing wrong with being millionaires. And many people want to be, but most people, especially our young people, and even people that are not young, they don't see that. So I'm a mirror image of what they see. So they don't have access to government because they don't have the money. I didn't have access, but I was able to break in through hard work. When I went to college, I had to work odd jobs. I had to become an RA, a resident assistant, and I had to take out student loans. Unlike my other opponent, because they had connections to state legislators, and they were able to get four-year scholarships just by the state legislator saying, here's the scholarship. It wasn't an academic scholarship. It was one that a state legislator can give anybody. Well, I wasn't privy to that type of information when I was younger. And again, God bless them. I'm not saying it was a wrong thing. I'm just saying the average person don't get that type of access. And then when I ran for alderman, again, I ran against the establishment. I ran with no endorsements. I ran with no appointment, with no big money people. And my opponent was appointed. And so again, it's a blessing. There's nothing wrong with getting appointed, but most people won't. And so I'm a mirror image of what most people in the state of Illinois will have to go through. They will have to work hard like I did to get hired at a Fortune 500 company. They're gonna have to work hard like I did to get elected and not appointed, or to get through college and work hard to pay their own way through. And that's what separates me from my two opponents. The constituents of Illinois can relate to me more than they can to them.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And I think I can pretty much relate to what your story is, because coming in as an immigrant, yeah, I had to go through, you know, my trial by fire before I, you know, I got in. And now running for Congress again in the 8th district, I'm going to be running as an independent.
Okay.
In the general election. Again, no endorsements, no big money behind me, but, you know, 20 years of public service in the 8th district, helping people find jobs, getting employers hooked up with, you know, government assistance and grants, that kind of a background. But this is not about me. This is about you. So
no, but people need to hear those stories, because sometimes, and even myself, because sometimes you think you're all alone in that, but you're not. And because there are other people who want, and they need to hear it, because they want to run for office, or they want to get in government, or they want to get into manufacturing and get into unions and things like that. But they always say, I don't know the right people. I don't have the money. And I'm here to say, you don't have to. Just continue to work hard. But there are going to be people like us who are going to give you that access. And where other people won't, I will.
That is so wonderful to hear. So, Alderman Moore, what keeps you up at night now?
You know, what keeps me up at night is wondering and making sure that our young people have a future and a positive future, not only from the standpoint of this earth being saved through making sure we're keeping this earth clean, making sure that we're keeping this earth unpolluted. I want our young people to be able to say that I can thrive in this country. And so that's what keeps me up at night as we deal with a lot of safety issues. And that's why, as the Secretary of State, I even propose digital license plates as an option to stop some of these carjackings. I've been talking about it all along, but it's just interesting. Sheriff Dart just came out last week and said one of our problems is we are not catching people who are doing the carjacking. We're not catching them in the cars, because the license plate readers that the police have, it doesn't matter if you read the license plates, because the car is stolen. All it's going to take you to do is take you back to the person they stole the car from. So that does you no good. And so, but with the digital license plates that we offer this early on when I first made my announcement. And I like the way my opponents are, you know, taking bits and pieces of that and making it their own in some other ways. But the digital license plates allow for when somebody steal your car, that it would immediately say stolen, and that people who are either driving can call 911 or the police can see it. And now you're catching the people in the car, because right now, if you're not catching them in the car, the courts are throwing it out, and because they're asking the officers, did you catch them in the car? You're like, no. Well, you're free to go. And then the next day they're out doing the same thing. So it's not about locking people up, but that person who's carjacking, they're going to be very hesitant to carjack someone with a digital plate. You know what I'm saying? And so that's even deterring them and cutting down on crime. And so those that's what keeps me up at night, making sure that our children have a safe state, a safe world, and one where they can see promise in terms of what they want to do for their future.
No, I do know that, you know, going back on your bio a little bit, that you have really helped out with some common sense gun legislation in the past. What is your stance on this? I was just listening this afternoon that in our neighboring state of Indiana, they are looking to see if they can do away with, gun licensing for everyone, something to that effect, that anyone can carry a gun without having to have a license.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read into that fully. I've heard something like that, and that's something I do not agree with. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the right to bear arms. But when we don't have proper controls in place that don't allow people to hand off guns. I mean, your car even has a registration, has everything that if I gave somebody my car to hit somebody with, the car is going to come back to me. So there has to be things in place where we can track these guns so that it's not getting in the wrong people's hands. And if it does, those who put them in the wrong people's hands are held responsible. And here it is, a situation again that we're dealing with as we deal with low-level crime. It's just a few people. And when we talk about a few people in the whole scheme of things, but yet we're not catching those. And so when we pass laws, it's to catch those few people, hopefully without hindering all of the good people. Just like we have bad police officers, the majority of our police officers, and I'm here to tell you, are some great officers. But it's those bad apples that tend to put a mark on, a bad mark on our police officers, just as it's those bad apples that tend to put a mark on responsible gun holders.
I mean, it could be bad apples in any profession, but
any profession.
You know, yeah, you got bad actors from in bad doctors to bad engineers, you name it. But hey, I see that you have submitted your petitions for the Secretary of State. How bad was that experience collecting those petition signatures, given the weather we had?
So, and that's what made me different and what separates me. And
okay.
I was a precinct captain. Uh-huh. And I was used to collecting signatures in the dead of winter, because sometimes there were runoff elections that I had to participate in, or special elections, which were usually in, you were collecting petitions in January and all of that, or late December, and you're getting your fingers frozen. But the challenge wasn't the weather. That was part of the challenge, but the challenge was COVID. The challenge was COVID. And so what I had to do was think creative, and I had to pivot from the regular door to door, because a lot of people were not opening their doors, and because it was colder than it usually is when we collect petitions. You know, people mm-hmm. weren't interested in stopping and holding their door open to sign sheets. And so we had to pivot differently. Unlike my other opponents who had to pay people, I've never paid people to get petitions. I always tell people, if you believe in good government, you get involved. And that's what happened. We found great people from all across the state, not just Cook County, from Peoria, from St. Clair County, Fairview Heights, from Danville, from Decatur, from Rockford, everybody pitching in, Kane County, believing in our message. And you look at our petitions, that's going to reflect it. It's not going to reflect just people in the city of Chicago or people just in Cook County. It's going to reflect from people from all across this state. And those are just regular people willing to go out there and get signatures. We needed 3,250 signatures to get on the ballot. And we collected close to 6,000 signatures that we turned in. And so I was excited about that. And it came from just regular folk who believe in good government, not from politician organizations yep. who've traditionally been corrupt, or organizations who you have to be beholden to after you get in office. No, it just came from regular people who care about good government. I thank all of those people.
That is so awesome. And I'm going to steal that quote that you just, the words that just came out of your mouth, if you believe in good government, get involved.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is something I'm going to use in my campaign now. I hope you don't mind.
No, I want you to, because what I try to educate as I'm running. I never just run to run. I tell people David Moore is going to be good every day of the week. I'm going to be good every day of the week. I have an accounting background. I have a good professional background as an administrator, as an alderman. And even if I wasn't alderman anymore, my skills can take me anywhere. I'm always concerned about that next person behind me. And I don't trust anybody else that's in government right now to make sure that those people are not forgotten. I'm there and I see who's doing what. And it's a lot of self-interest. And so for me, it's important. It's a couple of us there, but not a lot. And I at the state level, especially, I don't trust anybody else to be a voice for those that are traditionally left behind. And what I tell people when we talk about good government, people always, you ever hear people say, it doesn't matter whoever get in office, is all the same anyway. The reason why people say that is because they allow a system. It's not so much the individual, but they allow a system to select the different individuals, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity. If the system continues to select that person, and then it's always going to be the same, no matter who, what face you put in there. You know what I'm saying? No matter what color you put there, well, no matter what ethnicity you pick there, if that system is always choosing them, then it'll never be different. But when the people chooses that person, then it's different.
You know, you are so absolutely right. I mean, when I was out collecting petition signatures, for the primary, I would say a good 75 to 80% of the people came straight out and said, we are sick and tired of these career politicians and political parties. Sorry, we are not interested. And then I kept on hearing, if you run as an independent, we would love to support you, especially the past 2 years with COVID and all that. People have become so cynical of, the government response, before or after, the administration change at the center. So it's good to hear your thoughts on this, Alderman. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back, and we'll finish off our third segment as soon as we come back from this break. Thank you so much again. Folks, my guest on the Turning Point podcast is Alderman David Moore, Illinois Secretary of State candidate, and hopefully he is going to be our next Illinois Secretary of State. What a wonderful background. What a wonderful person. We'll be right back.
This is the Turning Point podcast. Our phone number is 312-866-7174. Please feel free to give us a call. Maybe you want to recommend someone to be our next guest or just have something you want to tell us, like what keeps you up at night. We'd be happy to share that. Or you can reach us on our website at theturningpointpodcast.com. We will be back right after these messages. Do you remember back in the day, and I'm talking about a day before flash drives, MP3s, DVDs, CDs, cassette tapes, and even a time before 8-tracks, there used to be something they called vinyl. Now, in most people's opinion, by far that was the best way to listen to music. I can remember that far back, and I remember I had a black dog. I loved listening to my vinyl albums, me and my black dog. Folks, something extraordinary has happened in Plainfield. 16108 South Route 59, to be exact, they opened the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe. Now, this is a family-owned record store / cafe. They buy, sell, trade, use vinyl records. And now that vinyl is making a comeback, they also have a selection of new vinyl records. The cafe serves food and has a full bar service featuring Will County's best local breweries, along with wine selections from Plainfield's very own Sable Creek Winery. Folks, if you have that hankering to get that live music vibe, the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe has live music every weekend featuring new artists as well as established veterans. They're open every day of the week, well, with the exception of Mondays and Tuesdays. Come check out the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe, 16108 South Route 59 in Plainfield, Illinois. And folks, try to remember, there was a time back in the day. Do you remember back in the day, and I'm talking about a day before flash drives, MP3s, DVDs, CDs, cassette tapes, and even a time before 8-tracks, there used to be something they called vinyl. Now, in most people's opinion, by far that was the best way to listen to music. I can remember that far back, and I remember I had a black dog. I loved listening to my vinyl albums, me and my black dog. Folks, something extraordinary has happened in Plainfield. 16108 South Route 59, to be exact, they opened the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe. Now, this is a family-owned record store / cafe. They buy, sell, trade, use vinyl records. And now that vinyl is making a comeback, they also have a selection of new vinyl records. The cafe serves food and has a full bar service featuring Will County's best local breweries, along with wine selections from Plainfield's very own Sable Creek Winery. Folks, if you have that hankering to get that live music vibe, the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe has live music every weekend featuring new artists as well as established veterans. They're open every day of the week, well, with the exception of Mondays and Tuesdays. Come check out the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe, 16108 South Route 59 in Plainfield, Illinois. And folks, try to remember, there was a time back in the day.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So, please stop by and catch our programming as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television, on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com. You're listening to the Turning Point Podcast, our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. Or you can reach out at 312-866-7174. Our guest today is the Honorable David Moore, the alderman for the 17th District in Chicago, and the candidate for the Illinois Secretary of State.
Thank you, Ken. And Alderman Moore, thank you very much for coming on and sharing your insights as to, you know, what public service really is and how it differs from politics. Now, the Illinois Secretary of State, pretty powerful position. And what does that office do?
Absolutely. That's a good question. And you said two things. You said it's a very powerful position. But when people use the word the powerful position, they think of the 4,000 jobs that the Secretary of State office has. When I say a powerful position, there's three buckets that I talk about from Secretary of State's office: the service of the Secretary of State, and the business of the Secretary of State, and the responsibility of the Secretary of State. And the most powerful part of that position falls under the responsibility of the Secretary of State, and that's that voice. That's the Secretary of State's office voice is so powerful and can be enhanced and utilized more even than it is now to push policy, to make sure that people have access to their government. And because other areas, whether it's congressmen, governor, state rep, state senator, all that is so polarized beyond by party lines, the Secretary of State office, what attracts it to me to it is that, as it does to me as alderman, is nonpartisan. I get to serve everybody, regardless of party, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, just serving people. And that's the power in that Secretary of State's office, is to have the power to use the voice for those people who normally voices cannot be heard. And so most people only know about the Secretary of State as the place where you get your driver's license. But there are 20 different departments within the Secretary of State's office, including business services, including court claims. People don't know that when you're a victim, you can file a claim with the Attorney General's office, but it's through the court claims at the Secretary of State's office that is decided on whether you get those dollars or not. And so that's important. You have the Secretary of State is the state librarian. People don't know that. And so making sure that our library and our facilities are modernized and enhanced to have people come in and utilize them even more. And so I want to make sure when I talk about the service of the Secretary of State, that that office is transparent, that we're providing equity in hiring and equity in contracting and equity in providing those services. And then when I talk about the business of the Secretary of State, at the end of the day, people want to make sure that we keep those fees down and not be increasing fees on stickers, fees on driver's license, fees on other services. And what I want to do is use my background as an accountant and operations manager, making sure you have someone in there that's a fiscal sound manager that don't believe in wasting the taxpayers' money. And also making sure that we're running effective and efficient operations. Therefore, people can come in there and have a great experience without being in long lines. And then you hear me talk about what I call, the responsibility of the Secretary of State. Using that voice, but also creating those 122 youth engagement offices to give our young people, the next generation, a voice and a seat at the table. But also in 2022 even, making sure that we're protecting voter rights as it's being challenged. And the Secretary of State's office, a lot of people registered to vote at that office. And one of the things I propose is that at 16, you can get a driver's license, but you can't register to vote. I want to make sure that people on their 18th birthday, they get a postcard from me saying happy birthday. You are automatically registered to vote, and give our young people an opt-out option instead of an opt-in option to make sure that we get the young people involved in voting. And so, again, it's the service of the Secretary of State, the business of the Secretary of State, and the responsibility of the Secretary of State. And I tell people, Illinois don't deserve anything less. They deserve more for Illinois. David Moore for Secretary of State.
Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful play on words over there. Okay, they deserve more for Secretary of State. And I tend to agree with you. See, here's the thing. Our Constitution has given us these wonderful institutions, but most of them have been politicized, for lack of a better word, to the extent that they are not doing the functions that they were designed for.
Absolutely.
And it is time someone like you come in and, you know, bring about the change that we should have had all along as, you know, as a norm for us. And most people really are not aware, Alderman, that the Secretary of State is the state's chief librarian also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we dealt with at the national level, the insurrection on the Capitol building, the Secretary of State is not only responsible for maintaining our Capitol in Springfield and the Capitol buildings there, but he's also responsible for securing them. So the Secretary, not only do the Secretary of State police, but the Capitol police reports to the Secretary of State.
That is so awesome to learn. Folks, our guest today on the Turning Point podcast is David Moore, Alderman of the 17th Ward, the city of Chicago, and also candidate for the Illinois Secretary of State in the upcoming elections. Please make sure that you go and visit his website, mooreforillinois.com. That is Moore with M-O-O-R-E, Moore for F-O-R, Illinois spelled out, .com. To learn more about Alderman Moore and his background and his vision for this great state of ours. On that note, Alderman Moore, we would like to conclude our conversation for today. Again, thank you so much for being part of the Turning Point podcast. We'll be in touch. I've got some great ideas and some programs that I have actually already launched in the last few years, especially in workforce and economic development, focusing on youth and also returning veterans, that I would love to sit down and talk with you and give them more shape once you get elected and you are in office. Thank you very much for your time today.
No, it was
thank you, Alderman Moore. It's been, in my opinion, one of the best podcasts we've ever done. I really appreciate you joining us today.
No, thank you. It was an honor for me, and I want people to get involved, look at all the candidates, and I hope I can earn your support to be your next Secretary of State of Illinois.
You have been listening to the Turning Point podcast. Our goal is to present to you interesting people from all walks of life that have a fascinating story to tell and offer you a platform to express what keeps you up at night. Folks, this is your podcast, and to make it better, we're asking you a favor. If you are an interesting person with a fascinating story to tell, or if you know somebody in your universe who you like and is an interesting person, or even if you know somebody you don't like, but they're still an interesting person with a fascinating story to tell, please give us a call at 312-866-7174, or you can leave a message on our website so we can share that experience with people just like you. Until then, have a great day.